We're now going to hear from God's word as we open up the Bible. And tonight's reading is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 17, to chapter 5, verse 20. If you're following along in the Black Pew Bibles, you can find that on page 1158. Ephesians, chapter 4, starting at verse 17. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbour, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thanks, Leanne. Ooh, that was a long Bible reading. More of God's word, the better, I say. Hi, my name is Amy. I work at St. Paul's with youth and young adults. And if I haven't met you yet, then I would love to meet you after the service. So come say hi. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that when we open the Bible, it is you that is speaking. We pray that right now you would speak clearly, directly into our hearts, that your Holy Spirit would convict us and change us to be more like Jesus. Amen. I had heard this word all around the playground at school, but I didn't know what it meant. The little girls would whisper this word and then giggle. And the little boys would shout the word across the yard and then run away before the teacher could come and scold them. Sex. So I started asking, what is sex? But I didn't really get an answer to my question until my mum took me along to a sex education seminar in the school hall. Did anyone have to find out about sex that way? Yeah, a few of you. Well, I got a lot of biological mumbo jumbo, and I remember leaving the building thinking, yuck. I'd be happy if I never heard anything about that ever again. I hate boys. The boys got scabs and dirty mud all over their school clothes. But a few years later, there we were, still in primary school, I might add, lying around on the grassy oval, and we were singing along to this hit song that was being played all over the radio. Generations here, I think, will know it. Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that may be. Let's talk about sex. It was like forbidden fruit in primary school. And just singing that song, we were like rebels. Well, by the time we got to high school, there was another big hit on the radio. And everyone was singing a new song. You and me, baby, we ain't nothing but mammals. So let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel. Now, in high school, everything was telling us to just do it. Except for that one lone voice, the school chaplain. These days, sex is all around us. You are hard-pressed to find a top 40 song that does not speak about it explicitly. Like, I don't listen to much music anymore, for this reason, actually. So last night I texted a friend and I said, can you tell me the name of a song that speaks about sex inappropriately? I'm speaking tomorrow. I thought I'd put in a present day example. She sent back a list. I wouldn't feel comfortable saying one line of any of those songs. Like, seriously, it's gone to a whole nother level. Sex is the butt of jokes in most sitcoms on TV. It steams up the cinema screen. It's the most commonly used marketing strategy for selling a product. Go to Castle Towers, look at the billboards, or don't, because they're pretty inappropriate. Fashion trends put pressure on us, women in particular. You have to dress as sexily as possible, be as sexually attractive as you can. A national survey on sex back in 2002 told us that 50% of school leavers have already engaged in sex by the time they leave. 75% of them think that sex outside of marriage is okay. And pornography. It's now a multi-billion dollar industry. The average age of a boy's first exposure to pornography is 11 years old. If you've been at church over the last few weeks, then you know that we're in the middle of a series called Text and Subtext. We've been examining the words that we say and the power that they have. And tonight we're looking at a couple of verses really closely. You can underline them on your sheet if you want. Ephesians 5, 3 to 4 is what we're digging into tonight. We're asking the question, how should we speak about sex? How should we speak about sex? It's all around us. And it was all around Ephesus as well. There was a huge temple in Ephesus. This is a, I guess what's they say? They look at the site and then they reconstruct what it would have been like. And they reckon this is what it would have been like. A huge temple in the middle of Ephesus, dedicated to the worship of a pagan goddess. It cast its shadow across the city. Prostitution and mass orgies were the typical act of worship in the temple. Sex, in that way, was considered normal, even religious. You could visit the temple night and day, could pay a fee and participate in the worship, or you could just sit and watch the daily show. So when Paul wrote to the Christians in Ephesus, he spoke about sex. And he did it in a way that applies to us too. So firstly, tonight from Ephesians, we're given some instructions to follow. And secondly, we're given some reasons to compel us. So how should we speak about sex? Here's my first point. Don't talk dirty. Give thanks. Don't talk dirty. Give thanks. Now, I'm not a fussy eater in general, but there's one thing I can't handle. No matter how it's served up, I hate hot and spicy food. Like if I'm sitting down to a meal, I just want to enjoy what I'm eating. I don't want to have to go get tissues and blow my runny nose every few seconds. I don't want to have to have sips of milk to stop my lips burning. I don't want to wipe away the beads of sweat that always happens when I get in contact with chili. It's difficult then when you have a husband who can't taste food unless it's doused in chili. Chris sprinkles chili flakes all over his spaghetti bolognese. He has extra hot taco sauce on his burritos. He even makes his very own chili mayonnaise so that he can have a tuna sandwich. Sometimes I'll come home, I'll give him a hug and I'll know, oh, you've been eating chili, haven't you? I can smell it on his breath. It's like it's seeping out of his skin into the air in my apartment. I'm exaggerating a little. No, well, I do, don't I? It's potent to me, right? I don't want to eat it. I don't want to smell it. I don't want even a hint of it. When it comes to sex and how we speak about sex, there are some things that God hates. There are some things that are potent to him, things about which he would say to us, I don't want even a hint of that. Check out Ephesians 5:3. It says, but among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. The Bible clearly presents sex as a good gift from God. It's meant to be enjoyed by a man and a woman in marriage. And it's an opportunity not to satisfy your own needs, but to serve your spouse with your body. Paul uses the words sexual immorality and impurity here to cover every kind of sexual act outside of marriage. We're talking fooling around with your boyfriend or girlfriend. We're talking cheating on your spouse, homosexuality. You might be wondering what greed has to do with it, because you can see that next word is greed. Paul uses the word greed to cover every kind of lustful desire outside of marriage. The word greed is actually often translated as covetousness. You can see why they just put greed there. It's easier to say. Covetousness. It comes from the verb which means to covet. It means to lust for more. And in context, what Paul has in mind is the coveting of someone else's body for your own greedy sexual gratification. We're talking about viewing pornography. We're talking about fantasizing about a friend, or just checking out someone on the street. So what about these sexual acts and lustful desires? Paul says, but among you, there must not be even a hint. Or quite literally, the text says, these things must not even be named among you. Must not even be named. He's saying, don't indulge in these behaviors for a second. Don't entertain the smallest thought in your mind. Don't even allow the mere mention of them from your lips. Not even a hint. So are you living without a hint? Is that how you're living? When you're home alone and behind closed doors, when you're with your boyfriend or girlfriend, when you're just walking down the street, are you living without a hint? Husbands and wives, are you living without a hint of unfaithfulness? You know, I passionately believe that the world needs to witness marriages in which sex is not about where can I get what I want, but how can I serve you? How can I be faithful to you? So are you careful when it comes to relationships of the opposite sex? Are you disciplined when your mind wanders? Can you honestly say to your spouse, I only have eyes for you? Well, Paul goes on to spell out exactly what all of this means for how we should speak about sex. Check out Ephesians 5:4. He said, Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. The word obscenity, it refers to crude, dirty, derogatory comments. Foolish talk is literally moron talk. You're talking like a moron. You're having a silly conversation that makes fun of sexual sin. Coarse joking is speech that is laden with sexual innuendos, vulgar puns, degrading humor about sex. Paul is referring to every way of speaking that celebrates the misuse of sex. He's telling us that you can cross over into sexual sin in your language. So don't talk dirty about anyone, except perhaps your husband or wife in a sort of appropriate setting. Don't make a joke of this good gift from God. Don't cheapen what is designed to be a rich expression of marital love. Not even a hint. So, are you speaking without a hint? Is that how you're speaking? Or perhaps crude words and sexual innuendos are a part of your vocabulary. Are you often the one that makes the comment that takes the conversation into the gutter? Do you enjoy pushing the boundaries so that, you know, people think you're funny? Well, maybe not. Maybe that's not you. Okay. How do you respond when you hear someone speaking like that? Do you think it's funny? Do you laugh? Does your reaction encourage them to speak more in that way? What about the movies we watch? Hall Pass. Recently at the cinemas, it's a comedy. Haven't seen it personally, but apparently it's about a husband who he's bored in the bedroom. So he goes to his wife and he asks for permission to have an affair. And she agrees, and she decides in the meantime to join in, and I quote, all the fun of the extramarital activities. What about Friends with Benefits? Two single young adults, they want to enjoy sex, but they don't want any of the commitment. So they make a pact. We're just friends. It's just sex. We'll take advantage of each other's bodies, but no strings attached. Deal? Is it okay to watch this stuff? Think. I don't want you to think for yourself. Is it okay to watch this stuff? Or does it make us just like the Ephesians, who would go along to the temple and watch the daily show? Are you being entertained by sexual sin? Do you find joy and laughter in the misuse of God's good gift? Is it beneficial? Ask that question when you're watching a movie. Is this beneficial, the things I'm hearing, the things I'm seeing? Does it help me maintain a high and holy view of sex? Or could I fall into lust? Will it encourage me to be faithful to my spouse? Or could it tempt me with a trashy alternative to marriage? So how should we speak about sex then? How should we? Check out what Paul says in Ephesians 5:4 again. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. He says we should be characterized by thanksgiving. That is, we should recognize God and all the astoundingly generous things, his astounding generosity in giving us amazingly good things to enjoy. Words of gratitude should gush from our lips anytime one of God's gifts is the subject of the conversation, and Paul says that includes sex. To talk dirty is to cheapen it, but to thank God and to point to God preserves its worth. Paul is talking about every way of speaking that celebrates God's design for sex. Speak about it that way, and the world might just sit up and listen. So are you characterized by thanksgiving? When sex becomes the subject of the conversation, do you gush with gratitude to God? Do you celebrate his design for sex? Will you give voice to the sacredness of sex in a world that has completely lost its way? You know, the church has a bad reputation when it comes to this topic. In the past, it has reacted in a few different ways. Sometimes the church has reacted with awkward silence, not knowing what to do. Sometimes with negative propaganda. Sex is naughty. Sometimes even sex is sin. But this is not the time for us to be prudish and hush up every time we hear the S word. We're Christians and we can't talk about sex. You know, not the time, seriously. The Bible speaks freely and frankly about it. So we shouldn't be ashamed of it. God designed it. We can't be ashamed of it. And we, the church, we can't afford to avoid this topic, okay? The world has been deceived by all sorts of lies, and we have the secret to great, God-glorifying, soul-satisfying sex. We've got to start talking. But don't talk dirty. Give thanks. Maybe you're thinking, all of this seems a bit uptight. I mean, come on. Can we loosen up a bit? Like, is a sneak peek and a joke here and there really that big a deal? Does it really matter? Well, secondly, Paul gives us some reasons to compel us. Second point, talking dirty simply doesn't fit. Talking dirty simply doesn't fit. You know when you go to the shopping centre and you see the little boys and they're all dressed up in their Spider-Man costumes? You see the little girls and they're all little fairy princesses. So cute. That used to be me. I had a Barbie ball gown. You couldn't get it off me. Prance around in it everywhere, to the shops, to the doctor's surgery, wherever mum was going, had to wear my Barbie ball gown. Big, shiny, silver skirt, puff sleeves, every little girl's dream. Over time, though, I struggled to get it on. It was getting tighter and shorter. Rips started to appear under the underarms. The zipper got really difficult to do up. At one point, I just had to accept the fact that I couldn't wear my Barbie ball gown anymore. It wasn't appropriate. I had changed. It simply didn't fit. At first, I didn't like the idea. I resisted throwing it out. But then I figured it out. Get a bit older, I figured it out. It's just not cool anymore to walk around in a Barbie ball gown when you grow up. In fact, it was rather embarrassing. The fact is, okay, if you're a Christian, talking dirty simply doesn't fit. It's just not cool anymore. Let's revisit what Paul says in Ephesians 5, 3 to 4 again. There's a couple of phrases I haven't commented on. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. Paul reasons that talking dirty is improper and out of place. That is, it just doesn't fit. It doesn't fit who we are. So who are we? Two things. Firstly, we are God's holy people. We are God's holy people. We have been set apart by God. We have been saved from our horrendous sin by our faith in Jesus. And we have been called to be distinct in the world, to be marked by purity. So why, in light of God's grace, why would we want to join in with the world in misusing sex and laughing about it? Paul continues in chapter 5 to persuade us about how ridiculous it would be for us to join in. He says, "For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them." We have a picture of the future. There is a day coming when every single person will either inherit the kingdom of God or they will feel the full force of God's wrath. The person who greedily pursues sex in the wrong way, will be held to account for what they've done and said. God's judgment will be severe. So you see, what we do with our bodies, what we say, it does matter. It's not just a bit of harmless fun. You know, it's not just a sneak peek. It's not just a joke here and there. So are movies like Hall Pass and Friends with Benefit funny? Are they funny? Because the Bible says God will judge that. He will judge that kind of behavior and that kind of humor. If we find joy and laughter in the misuse of God's good gift, then perhaps we're not seeing the future clearly. Praise God, right? Praise God, because we are his holy people. We've been saved through Jesus, and we know for sure that God's wrath is not coming for us. The question is, why partner with those upon whom it will come? Why join in? Talking dirty simply doesn't fit. Secondly, we are children of light. We are children of light. Paul goes on in Ephesians 5, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light." You see, the Christians in Ephesus, they used to live in darkness, especially in the area of sex. God's wrath was actually coming for them. But something amazing happened. They got transferred from darkness into light. How does this happen? Well, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, says, "Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders will inherit the kingdom of God. And this is what some of you were. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." When you put your faith in Jesus, when you receive the Holy Spirit into your heart, You have changed from darkness into light, washed clean of your sin, declared innocent on all charges. If you are here tonight and you've never put your faith in Jesus, and you know that you're living in darkness, perhaps in the area of sex, if you're sensing tonight that maybe you're one of the people the passage is talking about, God's wrath is coming for you, then I plead with you, put your faith in Jesus. He will take you from darkness into light, wash away all your sin, declare you innocent of all charges. If you have already put your faith in Jesus, then embrace your new identity. You're a child of the light, so start living in the light, or continue living in the light. How do you live in the light? Our last scripture, Paul says, Ephesians 5, For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. In regards to sex, act in a way that is good and righteous. Speak what is true. Then, watch and see as your light penetrates the darkness, as your light exposes the misuse of sex for what it is, and makes God's design look oh so much more attractive. I believe, and I passionately believe this, that on the topic of sex, this is a way that we can light up the world. Thought I'd leave you with a couple of practical tips that might help you put this stuff into practice tonight. And I hope you won't leave the building and not process and not think about what needs to happen in your life. A couple of things. Number one, be held accountable. If you're here tonight and you're struggling with sexual sin in any area, can I encourage you to seek the wise counsel of a fellow brother and sister, a leader, a pastor. Confess it, ask for support, and ask for them to hold you accountable so that you're not walking, doing that by yourself. There is support here. In conversations, what do? When you're in conversations with people, you're in a group of people and the conversation does head towards the gutter. Sometimes I think just don't participate. We don't want to be all like, I can't believe she said this, I'm so not your friends anymore sort of thing. But we don't want to sort of react in a way that's going to encourage people to continue in that. Just don't participate. Marty Kemp, when he was here, gave a good tip. He said, someone drops something so inappropriate and you don't know what to do, try and comment on the thing they said before that. Try and bring the conversation back to what it was before that sexual innuendo or pun was made. Something else, check out IMDb. IMDb, Internet Movie Database. If you think after hearing tonight that maybe you want to think more carefully about the kinds of movies you watch, then the Internet Movie Database is a good tool. You can check out any movie, look it up, and there'll be a parental guide. And as part of the parental guide, they give a rating and a really detailed description on things like sexual content and language, if you want to be really careful about what you're watching. It's actually my habit to look it up all the time. I just really like to know what I'm going to be putting into my mind before I do it. So that's a good tool. Fourth thing, and this is the last one, see this whole topic as an opportunity. See this as an opportunity. You know, God is speaking to us tonight. He isn't being a killjoy. He is being a loving father. He's given us the secret to great, God-glorifying, soul-satisfying sex. And we need to see this as an opportunity to be radically different in every way and to penetrate the darkness with the light. Okay, any questions? Did you guys get the number tonight? No, oops. Come chat to me. Come chat to Karen, Eric. Awesome.